Good morning. This is the second part of the three-part lectures on understanding learners. Today we will talk about learner perceptions. To introduce the topic, in a long-term endeavor such as learning a language, motivation plays a major role. Motivation of the learner and also to a certain extent motivation of the teacher. Here, the focus will be on the motivation of the learner. In this lecture, I will argue that motivation needs to be sustained over many years, and efforts need to be made inside the classroom as well as outside. For a successful learner, the source of that motivation, at least initially, is an inspiring teacher that they had in school. For others, it may be that that kind of a teacher may not have been available, and it can be one of the prime reasons for their failures. They have false starts, and therefore teacher educators need to know about what kind of pedagogic behavior can inspire learners in such a way that English language teaching becomes inspirational. Lamb has suggested that the study of second language motivation can be divided into two broader types. A, that which focuses on what the individual learner brings to the class, and B, that which focuses on what happens inside the classroom. The majority of the research has been about the former case, that which has focused on what the individual learner brings to the classroom. However, the second part is also very important in case of language learning, which is focusing on what happens inside the classroom. But much less attention has been given to this impact of the classroom on the learner's motivation, and in particular what role is played by the teacher and what methodology is adopted. And this has probably limited the impact of L2 motivation, second language motivation research, on the pedagogy of second language. Now, there are certain motivational teaching strategies that can be leveraged, that can be utilized by the teacher. Research has suggested also that these motivational strategies are defined as teaching techniques used to consciously generate and enhance student motivation, as well as maintain ongoing motivated behavior and protect it from distracting and or competing action tendencies. Dorney, Dorneyi, has given a taxonomy of 35 macro strategies and 108 micro strategies that are organized on a temporal basis, on the basis that the teachers needed first to create the basic motivational conditions by appearing knowledgeable, by developing good relations with the students, and then generate initial classroom motivation in the learners by setting appropriate goals and discussing course content with them, and then maintaining and protecting the motivation in the class by giving interesting tasks, adding humor to lessons, and finally to encourage the positive self-evaluation of the student by making appropriate assessment and giving useful and positive feedback. Now, these strategies by by and large, have been investigated in very great detail. And the results all suggest that there are many motivational strategies which are universally applicable. For example, learners and teachers in all contexts recognize the motivation, the value of the motivation of the teacher setting a good example with their own personal behavior, as is promoting healthy teacher-student relations and providing interesting lessons. Though the way this should be done will differ from context to context, student to student, teacher to teacher, and institution to institution. Some other strategies have been found to be more or less valued in some contexts. For instance, offering a kind of a reward was found to be highly rated by Chinese, but has not been identified as motivationally important in other contexts and educational situations. Some of the theoretically inspired interventions point out that an autonomous teaching style will motivate learners more effectively than a controlling style. So let us look at what is an autonomous style. An autonomous style implies recognizing learners' innate psychological need to feel competent at the subject, to feel related to other people, and to feel that they are doing it for themselves, that is, feel autonomous. Alongside understanding what motivates the student, it is also important to understand what demotivating teaching involves. Teachers can deliberately enhance their students' motivation, but it has also been found that the reverse is also true. They can damage the pupils' motivation as well, sometimes to such an extent that after even many years of study, the students don't feel comfortable to learn a subject, especially language. In fact, many learners of English actually began studying in school with high hope, and they do recognize the value of English for their future lives, but they find that their motivation gradually eroded and they decrease because what happened in their English lessons. Especially in developing countries, there are often structural features of the education system, such as very large class size, poor resource, and sometimes low teacher pay, which impact negatively on both teacher and learner motivation. But in other well-resourced education system where there is no dearth of any resources or even the pay is high, it is often the aspect of teaching methodology that determine or undermine the motivation of the learner. In fact, a boring or a monotonous class based on a knowledge-oriented approach to learning do not take into learners' own interests and identities will have a lower impact on the student's motivation. Now, what does this tell us about the learner or learner perceptions? It says that the teacher has a very great effect on the student's motivation level. In a recent survey carried out by the British Council, although there is a variability between the cultural contexts in China, Indonesia, and India, it was by and large found that there are some strategies or some qualities of the teacher that impact very heavily on the student motivation. And these are the teacher inspiring a greater confidence teacher making it become more aware of the importance of English. English made to seem easy. Teachers develop interest in English to make them enjoy learning more and to change and gain a sense of aspiration and progress are all important categories, are all important qualities that a teacher brings to the table and tries to motivate the learner. Now, the action taken by the learner on these kinds of things also impact, but to a lesser degree. So we must acknowledge the point that teacher plays a major role in trying to motivate the student in learning English. There are some unambiguous messages, very important ones, ki those teachers who are remembered as being inspiring tended to teach in a way that was memorable, either because it was felt to be particularly effective, or because it was interesting or enjoyable, or because it was mentally satisfying. So all these factors can contribute towards the perception of the learners. The teacher's personal and professional qualities are also important. The Indian learners especially value some kind teachers, though possibly this reflects some kind of a higher proportion of female teachers who have this ability to come across as kinder than their male counterparts. Well, I'm not saying that the males are not kind, but it is usually seen that the higher percentage of teachers in India, especially in English, tend to be female. And therefore, this can be a skewed result. But obviously, it is an important factor. Now, related to this is the pattern that in the Indian student, self-confidence is a very, very important aspect of inspiring them to learn language. Perhaps because the status that English enjoys within the Indian society, or at least we can say about it in the urban society, and to a lesser extent in the rural segment as well, language is perceived not as a school subject but as a potential personal vehicle of sophistication in cultural terms, academic terms, and is also perceived to be a kind of social mobility, giving some social mobility that becomes important for the students. Learning English and speaking in English, passing exams, become mastering grammar and vocabulary can enhance their identity and their motivation to a large extent. As English grows in India, globalization, privatization, and world becoming a global village, English becomes the language of the village as well. Moreover, it has become the language of social survival. In India, therefore, at least, English performs social roles that are relevant to educational contexts. And it legitimizes or tries to focus upon some cultural behavior as well. Students, especially in government schools, tend to believe that they face very significant challenges in the writing, speaking, and reading of English. English is often seen as a subject of failure, where students realize the importance of English for job interviews, but nevertheless they cannot or are very reluctant to speak in the classroom. I have drawn attention to this fact earlier in my classes as well. Even in colleges and higher sections of the higher classes in schools, English is taught through a bilingual medium, and the majority of teachers use bilingual or trilingual or even translation methods to make the students learn English or the teachers teaching English. Often they are found to have not done a detailed study on second language acquisition, and that contributes towards the anxiety of the learner as well. And therefore, the role of anxiety and its effect of learning effect on learning a second language like English has been a major concern for many educationists over the last decades. Now, if you look at the role of anxiety in language learning, factors responsible for anxiety, the learner's self-reported anxiety in relation to language achievements and performance and other related areas have become important inputs in making policies as well. Educational policies, pedagogical policies, and so on. Anxiety can be described in the following way. This definition comes from McIntyre, who says, "One of those topics on which significant differences of opinion can be found is anxiety. Some people believe that anxiety is a minor inconvenience for a language student, perhaps an excuse for not participating in class or a guise to hide a lack of study. Others seem to feel that anxiety may be the linchpin of the entire affective reaction to language learning. Therefore, quote unquote, therefore it is important that we look at anxiety in a little more detail. Why do we think that the anxiety is showing in this particular student? Now, there are three kinds of anxieties that are relevant over here: trait anxiety, state anxiety, and situational anxiety. Now, trait anxiety is a personality trait. State anxiety is apprehension experienced or anxiety experienced at a particular moment or time, and it can be temporary. And a situational anxiety is an anxiety experienced in a defined situation, which if it recurs, a situation anxiety can again reoccur. Now, we need to look at these in a more focused manner. Now, teachers have adopted a situation-specific approach to second language anxiety, and it has been also put forward that it is a distinct form of anxiety expressed in response to second language learning rather than an output of more general types of anxiety. So it is not coming from a general anxiety, but it is a kind of a manifestation that comes from the response to language learning failures. It is a subjective feeling of tension, apprehension, nervousness, and worry associated with the autonomic nervous system in a particular anxiety-based situation. Then there are certain kinds of apprehension and anxiety that can be very, very crucial for determining the learner perceptions as well. Like communication apprehension, when an individual learner express fear or anxiety associated with a real or anticipated communication situation, or a test anxiety where there is an apprehension or fear towards the evaluation and fear of failing in test or examination. And finally, the fear of negative evaluation is an important aspect, a feeling of tension, anxiety, or apprehension about how other people will evaluate the student. And there is a tendency of avoiding such situations, such evaluative situations, and anticipations. And the anticipation that others will evaluate the student negatively plays down on their minds. Now, there's also an emphasis of another key type of anxiety, that is test anxiety, the performance anxiety, a type of performance anxiety stemming from this fear of failure and negative evaluation. All these things come together in trying to set a precedent about how the students perceive their own language anxiety with second language achievement and performance. Many studies actually conducted on language anxiety were general in nature, and they have not examined certain areas related to second language anxiety. People have usually focused on the negative and positive impacts of anxiety. However, some studies have also pointed out that teacher, friends, parents, and fear of evaluation and types of activities and lack of preparation may increase the student's level of anxiety. Also, the learner's socioeconomic background, demography, caste, religion. In India, whenever there is something of this sort, invariably the societal pressures come into play in a very large extent. And to a certain extent, the level of language learning anxiety is modulated by these factors. In another interesting study conducted again by the British Council, the results has been indicated that students whose parents have a very limited level of education have a higher level of anxiety than those with parents who have a higher level of education. And there is a higher level of anxiety presented by students who have a rural background coming from the rural areas than compared to students from the urban areas. Students whose parents are educated and are from urban students who have are having lower levels of anxiety. And the lowest level of anxiety were experienced by students coming from a semi-urban background. Now, the students' responses vary from preference for being taught through English medium to their performance being better if they had studied in a situation where there is a translational transaction of teaching. It appears that students experience these kinds of anxieties about English language learning due to many factors. Urban as well as rural students also face anxieties which are affecting their performance in examinations in particular and life in general. And there are challenges faced by the students that lead to students sometimes losing interest in their studies. So it is a kind of a demotivational factor. One suggestion, therefore, could be that the professionals working with these students or the teachers who are mentoring these kinds of students would benefit from trying to focus on reducing their anxiety levels, because the students with low academic ability or perceived failures, and that leading to an anxiety can curtail their performance. So the teachers can look for ways in which this anxiety can be reduced, and therefore the learner perceptions about the learning itself and about the teacher can also enhance their learning of English. Thank you.